Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast. Please spread the word as we try to promote our own football players during this tough time for the game of football. And make no mistake, the game is at a crossroads. I mean, sponsorship dollars have dried up in a lot of cases. There's a lot of belt tightening going on, and understandably so. And we also generally have a lack of an appetite at the higher level for amateur sports in this world, especially university sports, where they don't generally sink a lot of resources into the sports, at least at the administration level. I'm not talking coaches, as we talk about the Rams and the Huskies. They put in a lot of time and effort, but I find the higher-ups kind of just dip their toe in the water. Barely better than intramural sports, as I've said many times. Thanks to my sponsors, Phase First Medical Aesthetics, above Gabos on Dudney Avenue in Regina. Ask about birthday Botox. And for the dudes, Brotox. Paul Waldo at Royal LePage. Get in the real estate game with a three-time Grey Cup champ, 306-502-5355. Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his fine work at markgreshner.com. SAS Selects Football with Zelko Stefanovic and his great wife, Deb, building the gridiron stars of tomorrow today. Paul Riviere and Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified Durham yellow peas and chickpeas. And Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn. For grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance, give my good friend Corey Zadorozniak a call out there at Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn. Just before we talk to our coach of the week, did you know that Canadians are being warned not to let moose lick their vehicles, their cars, or trucks? A tour company rep says that salt is like crack to a moose. And as you crack lovers know, they'll just keep coming back for that salt. They're even making loudspeaker announcements in tourist areas here in Canada. Let's listen in. Listen up, eh? This is an emergency message from the Canadian Health Administration, a.k.a. CHA, eh? All Canadians are warned not to let moose lick their cars. It makes them a little salty, eh? Okay, that's a bad one. But how about these? What do you call a sleepy boy moose? A bulldozer. What do you call a celebrity elk? Famous. What do you call a moose that plays piano? A musician. Speaking of music, what do you call a moose that's a classic composer? Well, of course, Amadeus Mozart. Okay, last one. What do you call a moose with 20/20 vision? A good idea. That was an emergency message from the Canadian Health Administration, a.k.a. CHA. Eh? All right, Growing the Game with Ballsy now. We're joined by our coach of the week, Darren Finkelday. He is a coach in the RMF. And our coach of the week brought to you by Pizza Huts here in Saskatchewan and David Dubé in the Concord Group of Companies. Darren, how long have you been coaching minor football for?
It's been quite a while now between my four kids, so I would say. I started out with Kai, who's been done for a while now, and still with Noah, I want to say probably 20 years.
And you haven't lost the game in the last five?
That's right, in the last 5 years. That's all with Noah's team. So, yeah, Noah's little team there, they haven't lost for 5 years in a row now.
So what's
five and a half if you include his two select seasons.
Okay, so what's the, what's the secret to doing that?
I guess just surrounding yourself with good coaches. I've always done that, and I need them to be not only good technical wise in terms of coaching football, but they got to be good people, and they got to be able to make football fun for the kids, because a lot of kids are just going to take away the good times they had from football. They're not going to use the skills they acquired for the rest of their life. So yeah, we try to put everything together, teach them a lot, get some good coaches, and then if the coaches live and breathe and eat it during the season, the kids will do it as well, and they kind of follow suit. And that's what worked for us anyway.
What do you like about coaching yourself?
I like...
besides winning.
Being around. That's right. That's the best part. I like being around the game, Ballsy. I think it's a great sport, right?
Yeah.
Football's so fun to watch and just be around there. And for us, it's made a personal bond for me between the kids, right? Like even my daughter, Kakara, I never thought I'd have a chance to coach her in football, but here I was coaching her, and she loved the game just as much as the boys did. So it kind of brings the whole family together. Like, even though my wife isn't coaching, like, you know, like she, we talk football all the time, and she'll ask me all the time every game, like, hey, what's the score going to be as I'm walking out the door?
What do you tell her? 50? What do you tell her? 56 nothing or what?
I don't go that far, but my son Kai, he always does. He always guesses like about 50 points, 60.
That's funny. Hey, what makes you a good coach?
Well, I think, like I said, surrounding myself with good coaches. I've had a lot of the same ones over the years between RT, Martin, and Darren Kutsky was with me for a while. But I also think you have to spend time at getting better on it. So what I've done is I've coached with the Selects program. You know about that one. Obviously through your son, and then I pick things up from other coaches there, and I even go on to YouTube and take a look at what coaches are doing on YouTube, and you can make a nice little rapport of skills and knowledge that you have just from other people and the people that you're around. And I have a neighbor who coached with the Rams. He's always throwing ideas my way. So I think it's always just like anything in life, just keep getting better at it, and take all the information you can and have fun with it, though. Like, if you're finding it to be a grind, then maybe you're not going to excel at anything that's a grind.
So help me out here. How do you describe your style? Would you say you're laid back? Would you say you're in your face?
Yeah, I say I'm you know what? I'm a little bit of both. I would say in practices, I'm pretty laid back. And we always like to have fun at practices, but it's like there's always a time to get down to business, and it's kind of like your podcast. Well, you can have a few laughs, but there's always time to get down to business, and it's like that at our football. We have a good time, like when we're a little further away from games, but as we approach games, you know, we start getting down to the nitty-gritty, and during the game, I'd say I'm a little bit more in your face than at practices, because I think if you're in your face all the time with these kids or on top of them, it just kind of, the effect wears off. So we kind of save that approach for during the games, and we just hold everybody accountable. And I think the kids expect that from us now. Everybody just does their jobs, and if they don't, they're going to end up hearing about it a little bit. And if they do their jobs, they're going to hear the positive side of things, and they prefer that.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, how do you make sure everyone feels included on the team? Because let's be honest here, peewee football or younger, I've coached too, when you try to get somebody used to the game, you generally put them farther away from the football, wide receiver, corner, and as they get a grasp, they get moved closer to the football to start the play. That's generally how we do it. I think that's how you do it too. But how do you keep those guys or girls included, feeling like they're a part of the team when they're maybe not getting the ball or around the ball that much?
Yeah, you know what? That's true. And I think everybody, you got to take that mindset again that everybody's got a job to do. And, you know, maybe as the season goes on, you're going to have a different job. And we're pretty lucky that way, in that if you're a receiver on our team, you're going to end up carrying the ball sooner or later. Or we're going to throw it to you. We're going to get everybody the ball. And we do that. You have to have good captains, too. And the captains will give shout outs to all the other players, and you know which kind of kids will do that. And so I think that those players that are smart enough to know that a touchdown is more than just the running back standing in the end zone, it's the O line, it's the quarterback, it's everybody. So we try to make sure, if the coaches demonstrate that it's a team effort for every single play that we make, then the players are going to do that too. And we like to rotate players too. I'm lucky because every age group in RMF, there's 2 years. So those kids that might start off on the fringe in their first year of playing, the next year they move into the box, right? So we kind of move them through that way, and we just let them know that, hey, if you're going to be able to stay safe inside the box, we'll put you there. If not, we'll start you off somewhere else for the time being, just like you had stated.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so how do you deal with difficult parents? I've had a few issues when I coached. Have you had any issues? I usually, what I used to like to do is have a meeting with the parents and the coaches right there, so there's no muddling or mudding of the message. It's right there. We're all in one big group, and this is how I'm going to run the team. And I always said this to them. I want people. Equal and fair playing time is not the same thing. I know RMF regulates that. Equal and fair playing time is not the same thing. And if you guys are going to tell me that it's not about winners or losers, that's a lie, because in life you don't get the same job, the same woman, the same vehicle. And if we didn't have scoreboards at football fields, like, the score matters, or we wouldn't have scoreboards at football fields, right?
That's exactly right. And I agree with you. The number one rule I always have in terms of dealing with parents' complaints is don't let Darren Kusky handle them. Because he doesn't have any patience anymore.
Yeah.
And I always find that, you know, you got to kind of, maybe being a police officer, I know that you always have to keep things in context, because you get an email right away from a parent and you're like, what the hell is this parent thinking? Can't they see anything? But once you talk to them in person, I kind of find, okay, I can kind of see where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And if it's a playing issue, like playing time, or maybe the position their child's playing, or maybe they're coming on in the second rotation rather than the first, what I'll always do is I'll always let them know exactly what I'm looking for from their child's position. And then I'll give them a little bit of feedback of what I'm seeing. And then quite often, maybe the parents can start looking for that. And football in Canada isn't like hockey. Some parents have no clue. They just see a big scum of people and they think your kid's doing well.
Yeah.
So I think you have to break it down for them. But if it's more like an issue of dealing with a kid's overall morale, or maybe a parent says, you know what, my kid doesn't feel like he's belonging, or he's kind of getting down on himself, and something like that, I'll actually talk, like you said, with the other coaches and the parents in a meeting, and we'll come up with a plan and say, okay, how are we going to approach this? Because that parent will actually have a lot of input and knowledge, background knowledge, to help us come up with a plan and dealing with that type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
But like it, as you know, parents, you always going to have at least one parent on there, right, that you're never going to satisfy.
Well, I've always said every parent should have to coach a team or be a manager of a team once in their life, just to see what it's like, so you could put yourself in the shoes of a coach that coaches all the time like yourself. Okay, last question, Darren. How does it feel to be a coach with, like, your son Kai coaching with you and coaching your son Noah, like, to have it be kind of, to be a true football family? That's got to be, that's better than the wins and the losses, in my opinion.
It is. I agree with you. And Takeo, my other son, one of my other sons, Takeo would come out and coach with us too and throw the ball around with us. So we always had a few sons out there with me, and it's great. And obviously the age difference between Kai and Noah is what makes it really special, because at one time when Kai was playing, you know, Noah was a little turd running around in the background chasing footballs for us. And, you know, he would beg to come to practice, and sometimes he'd just be more or less in the way, but we'd take him with us. And same with Takeo. And then as the years went on now, and the way high school football is this year, Takeo had a lot of free time, so he could help us out. But I like it. I like jumping in the car, and Kai's really into it. He's like my defensive coordinator, and we can sit around and talk football while we watch football, while we're doing yard work, anything. It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. Hey, thanks for your time, not only here, but in the community, all you're doing, okay?
Thank you so much, Balzi.
All right, here in Growing the Game with Ballsy, we like to highlight things that are helping our athletes out, whether it's coaches, whether it's builders, volunteers. Well, my next guest here has a performance center in Regina that he's fired up here. It's Aubrey Stedman. Aubrey, how are you today, man?
I'm good, Michael. I'm good.
Good. So tell us about your, first of all, give us the name of your facility. Where can they find it? It's in Regina. We know that. And where did the idea come from?
Yeah, it's Regina Sports Performance Center. It's formerly the old Tartan Curling Club at 1464 Broadway Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's built in 1956, original structure, but when we took it over, we gutted it and installed a indoor turf and court recreational facility.
Now your family has a football background. I know your son Emmett is with the Regina Rams, former Miller Marauder. Just tell us about your reasoning behind putting this complex up, or refurbishing it and adding it to our sporting community, as it were.
Yeah, well, as you know, Michael, your son plays down in North Dakota. We had a chance to go down to some camps down in the States and take a look at the opportunities there. And when I was down in the States, specifically at South Dakota as well, not to throw anything to North Dakota's way, but what I noticed in a lot of these facilities when we took our kids down there to train and to work out of these camps is that these to a school, all these schools had excellent indoor training facilities for their athletes, and I didn't see that same need being filled in Regina. So seeing those camps, we were at Northwestern and Cornell and South Dakota as well. And as you know, one of the Miller Marauders, Ethan Vibert's down there playing now. But, mm-hmm. you know, their facility in South Dakota, I believe, is one of the top five in the U.S. for training facilities. They've got a two-thirds size football field under a dome and, again, was a great weight facility. So with that in mind, when we took over the facility as real estate developers here in town, what I thought at the time, my son was a Miller Marauder, and I was standing in an empty rink area, and I said, what can I do with this? And I brought in the Miller football team, and they started throwing the ball around, and I got a sense that this would be a good facility and, you know, not quite purpose-built, but large enough to accommodate the training needs of certainly of a football team.
So tell us about the facility. Give us some of the bells and whistles of it, as it were.
Yeah, right now there's 20,000 square feet of a field space. We have about we have a football field marking that's 24 by 50 yards wide, and then we have a smaller soccer field about 24 by 32 yards wide, and then we have 2 3-on-3 basketball courts. And on those basketball courts, we also have pickleball, badminton, volleyball courts. So we've really tried to be a multi-use facility. On our football field, we also have markings for lacrosse and soccer. We also have 4 batting cages, pitching cages, as well as infield markings for junior baseball. So we really tried to kind of be a Swiss Army knife to a lot of different sports. So just, again, giving opportunities to all different sort of athletes to improve their game.
How has COVID-19 affected you, as it's affected everybody? I'm sure it's kind of, I don't know, I want to say put a damper on it, but it definitely probably has hindered some of the things you can do.
Yeah, I like to use my line about the good thing I didn't open a sports facility during a pandemic. Well, you know, it's one of those things, you have to roll with the punches. I mean, when I started the project, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't a pandemic on, but about March, I was kind of midway through the project. I had the turf in and everything like that, and then this pandemic came down. But as you know, in for a penny, in for a pound, I was too far down the road, and there wasn't, you know, for me, this is a facility that's just not for this year or next year. I hope it's here for a number of years, providing an opportunity for training. With regard to the pandemic, we've increased our sanitation and health. We've bought another $20,000 worth of equipment. We have electrostatic Clorox 360 cleaner, which we use on our equipment, which surrounds the equipment electrostatically, and we don't even have to touch it, and it cleans it in under 2 minutes. We also have field sanitizer that we put on our field every night that we put on there, and again, a mister form, and we also have floor cleaner. So we've enhanced our cleaning and our sanitation by about $20,000 in equipment alone. And then coming into the facility, you have to get contact. You have to fill a contact tracing sheet. We had face masks prior to the mandate have to wear in the facility. And, you know, we do a temperature check when everyone comes in, and you also sanitize your hands. And throughout the facility, we have hand sanitizers. And so it really has changed it, even to the point of our capacity. So being a new facility, we haven't, you know, got to the what our peak capacity would say be in the normal times. But, you know, it really has kind of influenced how people use our facility. And as such, I've had to kind of adjust our rates to accommodate smaller groups, so to speak. You know?
So when it does get up full board, and we'll get to the other side of this eventually, of course, have like a full-on training in terms of like football training or sports-specific training in there, Aubrey?
Yeah, and I've already mentioned we do have a place called Next Level Fitness, which just happens to be on the next level, and it's got a lot of cardio and training equipment, which also has a CrossFit training space. We also have a classroom space next door with about 10,000 square feet, as well as next door we're developing a heavy lift zone. So we're trying to make a zone for heavy lifting for some athletes, for like the football players and such, and we're developing training programs specific to the individual athlete or the individual so that you make the best use of our facility. So, you know, we have a lot of Rams, Riots, and Thunder players right now, not only working for us, but kind of registered as working out there. And again, they like the access to the training, weights, and the cardio, as well as the on-field skills training. So, yeah, we have hockey teams using it for dry land training. We have all ages. We have 9-year-olds. We have, you know, adults. And again, it's been very well received in that manner.
Your son and his friends probably like kids in a candy store.
Yeah, they get paid to work in a place where they can, you know, like I say, as they're students, and I say, when we're not busy, I want you guys to use the opportunity to study, and if you don't have to study, then obviously it's an opportunity for training. So, yeah, Emmett's a receiver, as you mentioned, and Josh Donnelly's one of the quarterbacks. They're there with the other receivers, you know, just, you know, on a regular basis, just kind of keeping their skills sharp.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so if anybody wants to get more information and how they can enjoy your facility, how do they go about doing that, Aubrey?
Well, right now we have a website, reginasports.ca. Again, they can go to the website and give some insight. It has an inquiry form. So as opposed to, say, the Eventplex, we're not a public facility. We're private, so we have booking forms on there. So in order to use our facility, you have to kind of book and come in. It's not, again, publicly available. But again, part of the pandemic issues as well. But again, just go to reginasports.ca. There's an inquiry form. There's several emails to our general manager and other staff as well. And just give it a little detail, and then we usually get back to you within a day or two of your request. And as I've been telling people, it's been a good thing in a way. You know, until yesterday, we were filling up quite a bit. But as you mentioned, you know, there's some restrictions now that, again, are impacting us further. But no, it's being well received. And again, if they want to go to the inquiry form online, that's the best way of getting a hold of us.
Good on you, Aubrey. I appreciate all you're doing in the community. Thanks for this.
Thank you, Michael.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.